keep bringing you the best in alternative voices for social and political news, the environment, health, the economy, and a whole lot more. All you have to do is keep listening. PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Tarantine on tenor sax, a big band of jazz greats behind him, with Percy Mayfield's song River's Invitation, arranged and conducted by Oliver Nelson. It's from his acclaimed 1965 album, Joyride. To this day, I'm still miffed that I lent this album to someone and never got it back. I was in college, I had no money, and it cost me a pretty penny back then. Just so that person knows. All right. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And at its August the 4th, it starts today, 4th to 7th National Convention in Houston, Texas, the Green Party of the United States, that's its official name, officially will nominate its presidential candidate for the general election, all but certain to be physician Jill Stein. And it will also tend to other vital election year matters. Chief among them, no doubt, will be moving the party beyond its 0.36% share of the overall vote when Stein headed the Green Party presidential ticket in 2012. Bernie Sanders' full-throttled defection to Hillary Clinton and the Democratic Party may be good for Stein, but even if that and widespread discontent with the political process were to bring in new blood and new interest to the party, is the Green Party prepared to do battle with the duopoly? That's the question today. Well, this is going to be the last of the big conventions. It's not going to be as ostentatious as the Republicans nor the Democrats, but it does signify a process occurring where people are formulating their response to the duopoly, outside of the duopoly, to create a third way. This was where we had hoped that Bernie Sanders would have brought his revolution to the point of a convention, and there begin to solidify the base and begin the process of concretely entering this competitive world of politics but not with the same old tired formulas, but with something else that would have energized a keenly interested constituency looking for answers outside of the system they know. So we'll see how it develops for the Green Party. But we do have some concerns. And what are these concerns? Number one, the party has to, it has to expand. That's one of the things that you do. But you don't basically come to the same conclusions that this party must do the same thing as other parties should do. And that's very refreshing, actually, that it is supposed to decide its own course. And that should come out of a communal decision. People should be participating in that decision. But we do have some concerns. And one of them is, has the Green Party, or will the Green Party, have arrived at a point of critical mass to make a definitive difference in this election? And by critical mass, I don't mean just the number of people who are likely to vote for the Green Party, but we're talking about the organizational structure. Is it ready to accept new blood? Is it ready to accommodate new people? Is it ready to take on a fight? And this will be a major fight if it comes to that. The first and most important thing, which is what the Green Party, I think, is struggling with right now, is ballot access. And right now, they supposedly are on the ballot in 24 states and the District of Columbia, which is not nearly what they would need, but considering that this process is fraught with frustration and designed to basically deny access. This is this is one of the things that I think we have to look at. How purposefully and intentionally undemocratic this democratic process is. Rather than encourage as many different political entities to present themselves as viable choices, the system absolutely will not tolerate too many intruders. So because they control things between they agree, this is one of the things that they agree upon, they agree among themselves, the Democrats and Republicans, that there really isn't any need for anybody else. It's been like this for a long time. People are accustomed to the duopoly. It makes life so simple. You have stark choices. Either take the Democrats or the Republicans and be done with it. Why do we need to complicate things with these other parties? So they make it very, very difficult. And these rules and regulations for qualifying for ballot status are so complicated, needlessly complicated. It is meant to frustrate people and have them give up on this whole idea. And it is itself an assault on democracy. So that's been one of the things, and I have also commented about it. The Green Party, for as long as it has been in existence, and it's been in existence since 1999, it should have covered more ground by now in terms of its organizational structure. Well, that's great for me to say outside in a nice, safe place outside of the party. But at some point, though, we have to get serious about having an organizational structure. And we can't just simply say, well, it's so tough. Well, this should not be a revelation. It is tough. But at the same time, if you want to be in it, you've got to be prepared to fight. And you have to be scientific and strategic in the way you fight. Just the same, They have managed to get on the ballot in 24 states and the District of Columbia. And according to the Green Party, that accounts for 60% of the voting population, of the catchment area covered by these states, where they can get a pool of support from. That would be equivalent to 60% of the population. And from that pool, they think that they can do well in attracting new blood, in attracting new support, and so forth. But this is Jill Stein's second turn at bat as, and if she is, of course, officially nominated, then that comes, I believe, on Saturday. This is her second go-round. And we have not yet seen the Green Party undertake a public examination of itself to tell us what has it learned so far about what it's doing wrong or not doing well enough. It is one thing to say, well, this is what we stand for, A, B, C, D, and E. That's great. But we also need to get from the Green Party a sense that it is actually interested in reaching certain communities. I have commented many times that I have not seen the Green Party present and accounted for in communities of color. I have not seen the Green Party take up the issues, vigorously take up the issues that affect these communities of color. Instead, I see the Green Party in many ways taking the traditional mindset that, look, we obviously are a better choice. And you would be smart if you support us. It's kind of an elitist view. The idea that people, if they know what's good for them, will just gravitate toward the party and support it for their own good. When, in fact, politics, this kind of politics, requires you to get your hands dirty. It requires you to infuse yourselves in the communities where you want support. It requires you to bring the message, not just wait and just be the messenger, but to bring the message. It requires you to do all of this with a sense of sincerity and divesting yourself of the most important, the most common obstacle, which is white supremacy. We are very reluctant to talk about the degree to which even progressive movements have been hobbled by notions of white supremacy. In major situations that we have seen recently, where people are just absolutely outraged about what is happening, you've got to be present and accounted for. And you can't take this position that we are here if you need us kind of thing. No. You have to constantly demonstrate that you are with that community that you want support from. I have the same criticisms of African American and Latino organizations who have adopted white supremacist ways of operating. If you know what's good for you, you will recognize that we exist and you will come to us. We don't have to come to you, which is ridiculous. You know, people are in the street. If you are, in fact, in touch with what's going on, if you have a palpable connection to these communities, Nobody has to tell you what's going on. You know what's going on, and you will be initiating action rather than being available to be invited to it. The other piece with the alternative movements, and this is, of course, we saw this with Bernie Sanders, duplicating the same contradictions that they know will destroy them. And that is disregarding concepts of democracy. I think the Green Party has been making a very good effort at avoiding that, but the vestiges of it are still there. It still comes across as a not too embracing party. When I say not too embracing, I mean we still see evidence of class differences. We still see the notion that the heavy lifting will be done by the people of color, but the heavy thinking and strategizing and planning, the intellectual burdens will fall on whites. It's very distressing to me, but I've noticed that across the board in many progressive movements, they still have not been able to cleanse themselves of this internal contradiction. Nor are they prepared to admit it. It's a kinder, gentler, more accommodating form of plantation politics, but it is plantation politics in many ways. And they have to grow up and understand that if you're looking to be sincere about something, you should also be prepared to have people occupy intellectual space and manage the direction in which you want to go. They have to participate fully in that effort. But time and again, we see the same pattern playing out. So today, I think we want to talk about the role, or the possible role that the Green Party can play in turning things around politically in terms of political choices that people have in the progressive community. But realistically, will it be able to accomplish the most important objectives between now and Election Day? And again, we talk on this program about entirely different definitions of winning. Winning isn't that you end up in the White House necessarily. Winning means that your strategies, you prevail in your strategies, you prevail in your objectives, then you're winning. If an objective would have been to be up and running in all 50 states by now, then that's a way to have a measurement as to whether you're doing your thing or not. With obstacles put in your path or not, the thing is, once you've defined your objectives the way you defined your objectives, we now should measure your success against the objectives that you have outlined. And that's the other thing. Are these objectives, when you listen to some of the platforms that are being formulated, the things, the issues that they say they want addressed, are they the kinds of issues that can be addressed given the structure, the political structure that we have? I know we ought to have some kind of a pointer or pointers as to where we want to go. What is our desire? What is our agreed upon agenda? But are we putting on the agenda things that are not practically achievable, given all of the things that we should have in place in order to achieve these things. So let's talk about these things today and what opportunities, in your view, if any, that you see the Green Party presenting at this time that might help advance the cause that, or causes that initially were shared with the Sanders revolution. We'll take this break and come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888. Listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we're talking about the Green Party today, which opens its convention in Houston, Texas, and by Sunday, actually technically by Saturday, but they close their convention on Sunday, but by Saturday we should know officially who its presidential nominee will be, who will then go on to compete in the general election. We're talking about the Green Party and the degree to which you see the Green Party as a great alternative or just a great party based on your political orientation and whether it could be the right choice given our situation right now. 888-874-4888. Jay, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon to you, Eutrice.
Thank you.
I hope you're doing well. I hope one day you'll have a soul discussion on your jazz collection. I guess it must be extremely massive.
The what collection?
Your jazz collection.
Oh, yeah.
I guess it must be really massive. You know, maybe we could talk about what platform you use, iTunes, or, you know, what media player, what albums you have, things of that nature. But in regards to the Green Party, you know, honestly, I don't think the Green Party has a direction in place to really take the voters that are disinvested into the Democratic Party and bring them into the Green Party.
What makes you say that?
I just don't see the community outreach. I just don't see, I guess it may be because the media doesn't deal with them other than maybe shows like yourself. I don't really see them too much out in the community. You know, a real pushing of their platform on social media and things of that nature. I just don't see that big of a presence to me. I mean, I've heard of Jill Stein, but to be honest with you, I've heard more of her vice president candidate than I have of her. You know, I've read some of his works. I've heard interviews that he's done. Extremely insightful brother. I mean, hopefully you could get him on the show. I mean, he reminds me of a lot of the brother that you have that comes on from Detroit talking about the crisis going on in Flint. You know, he's extremely global. I think his global outlook is much broader than hers. His analysis is up there with yours on a lot of issues from what I've heard him and read his writing. You know, he comes out of the whole black agenda thing.
But I want to ask you this, though. Both you and I have commented about the lack of visibility in communities of color. Okay. That being said, Do you, just the same, have an awareness that perhaps they have something to offer and maybe you ought to check them out, whether they're there or not?
I think that they have something to offer in regards to people who see the world kind of like we do. No question about it, but it's the message of how do they get others to look at them. I think that's what the real issue is. But I mean, if they were able to put forward their agenda and their platform, I think people that were supporting Bernie Sanders would love to be a part of it. As far as you always say, we need to put forward a new movement, a third party, and things of that nature, because I think they are in that type of vein. They have what we would like to see in regards to how the world is moving forward. I just don't know how could one increase their media visibility or community visibility or just being able to put them on a broader scope in regards to politics.
All right, well, you got us started. Thank you so much, Jay, for doing so. Thank you. Let's go to Michael from New Jersey. What are your thoughts?
Hi, Utrice. I hope I'm coming through today.
Yes, you are.
Okay. And I want to say greetings to the PRN audience.
Thank you so much for that.
I saw a quote by Gore Vidal, who I don't think is with us anymore, and he said, I've been saying for the last 1,000 years that the United States has only one party, the property party. It's the party of money. It has two wings. One is Democrat and the other is Republican. And also, I saw a quote by Ralph Nader, who said when he was a young man, he asked his father, he told his father that he thought that they needed a third party. And the father thought about it a second. He says he would settle for a second party. So these two things are saying the same thing.
Ralph Nader, as you know, was a Green Party candidate for president in 1996 and in the year 2000. So it's interesting that you should have that quote. But what do you think about, as the Green Party launches its convention, what do you think is the possibility of the Green Party being a kind of natural selection, if you will, for people who are looking for some place to go politically other than the Democrats and Republicans?
Yes, I'm glad you put it that way, because personally I don't see myself, I'm not a nihilist and I'm not an anarchist, and I look for things that could actually make a difference. And I'm afraid it's still in the realm of fantasy, because my fantasy in regard to this would be that the Green Party, that somehow Bernie would heist up his pants and say, okay, what can we do? Because the alternatives here are untenable.
Well, Jill Stein said that she had approached him about the business of working together, and he basically didn't take her up on it.
Well, I'm afraid that's a character flaw to Bernie.
We have some internal problems here.
I'm sorry, the technical problems you're talking?
No, I'm saying because Jill Stein said that she reached out to Bernie Sanders
and proposed to him
that they work together, and he didn't pick her up on that offer.
Yeah, I think that that's a character floor with Bernie, because, well, I don't know. Bernie, you know, I can't speak for what's in his heart and in his mind, but it's unfortunate, because if he could garner to take that 13,000 votes and make a case that, you know, this is untenable, what they did to me was an atrocity, and up until now I have done unimaginable harm to the movement that I identified with and who people identified with. And if he could just somehow you know, say all that is true, and now I've seen the light, and I'm going to make a decision here. I'm going to you know, stand up and ask my 13 million voters to join me and Jill Stein and the third party. And because Hillary is such a weak candidate, as you brought out, and what they've done to Donald Trump in the press and what he's doing to himself is, you know, I've seen recently in the Times, I can't even trust what I'm reading anymore with regard to this. And the TV, I won't even turn on the TV. It's ridiculous. You know.
So in your view, is the Green Party a logical choice, or is it, in fact...
Well, in my fantasy, it is. In my fantasy that Bernie, you know, joined them and had the 13 million votes.
Yeah, well, you know, you use the word fantasy here. We try to get close to reality. Bernie has already pledged his troth to Hillary and the Democrats.
Right, and so he's done unimaginable harm.
And he's already, says Jill Stein, he's already turned her down, not responding to her offer that they join forces.
Correct. So in this, so if we're looking at reality, which is unfortunate, we have to say that that we have to start to build for the next cycle, because, you know, Jill Stein with 24 states and 0.3 or whatever she's got now, and the media blitz for Hillary, you know, Donald Trump is about the only candidate that Hillary can beat, because he's so, you know, the way he is and the way he's presenting himself and the way the press is presenting him. Because Hillary, I agree with you. I think she's a very weak candidate on so many levels. So she's very beatable. And the third party,
she's very beatable.
Yes, I think we agree. And the third party would be a tremendous opportunity at this time. And actually, I think I read also in the New York Times that you have Donald Trump and you have Hillary Clinton fighting over just 9% of the vote. The rest of the people are not voting, or they're voting for a third party, or they're writing in, or they're not interested. They haven't committed. They're unhappy. You talk about 9% of the people, and they're fighting over this 9%.
And they have to, because the reservoir is drying up.
It's
people
drying
are
up.
Turning
it's
off.
It's down to 9%.
They're disgusted with it. Thank you for sharing your fantasy, but also thank you for coming back to reality.
Okay.
Today.
Nice.
Thanks a lot
with you.
For your call. Let's go to Florida. Ray, you're on the air.
You.
Hello, Ray. How are you?
Good. Yourself?
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah, I'd like to flesh out some of this stuff about the Green Party, because the 25 states that Jill is already on are 25 of the biggest. It's the whole West Coast. It's the whole Gulf Coast except for Alabama. It's, you know, Ohio and Illinois, and I'm not looking at the map, but New York and Maine and a lot of big states in there, electorally very important. Plus, there have been petitions submitted for another six, and they're just waiting on the results. Plus, they're actively soliciting volunteers to go after the remaining little states like Wyoming and Montana, states with low population. So this notion that, you know, that they're just sort of fighting the battle halfway and then putting their feet up is really, it's really got my blood up today. You know, I with Amaju Baraka as the vice presidential candidate, with Cornel West giving one of the keynote addresses, and hearing you talk about plantation politics, I just can't reconcile all this.
Where that comes from. We do have a tradition, even in the African-American community, we still have that notion of, I call it the son of the talented 10th syndrome, where people believe that the leadership has to be in the hands of so-called intellectuals, and who may or may not share the same views or experiences as the masses of people. Simply because, I mean, we saw that with Obama. Simply because, you know, there's a black guy doesn't mean that he understands everything that he needs to understand to appreciate the African-American condition. And we have
no
had
one person
the experience
can represent
of
any condition. Huh? I say no one person can represent the totality of any condition. But
I know,
Obama,
but this
is
where there is a meeting of the minds, and this is one of the things I have found to be a contradiction within progressive movements. The tendency to have this hierarchical division where you have intellectuals driving a popular movement, and very often they're not in sync with what's going on with people. They're very intellectual. They're very smart, they're very capable, but not necessarily in touch with dealing with life on the ground. I know it sounds a little bit bizarre, but it's true.
It's certainly better than what we had a month ago.
I agree.
Now, the Green Party's donations are up 1,000% since Bernie folded up his cardboard suitcase. And, Jill Stein was outside the DNC as Bernie's delegates went storming out. She was out in the street with a bullhorn soliciting them and giving speeches. You know, there's this constant thing on your show about how the Greens are never doing enough. And yet every, week or so, they do more. And I'm just trying to give credit to some of that.
No, I appreciate your point of view. I'm saying I'm not just being blindly or, gratuitously critical of the Green Party. I'm saying this as, in fact, a hint that they ought to pay attention, as these things are, in fact, important to communities. When they look, it's like the convention. I didn't watch the convention beyond, really, the first day. All I needed to see was the room. And as the cameras panned the room, it told me everything I needed to know. It was not about me, and it's not about people like me. They were having a conversation about themselves, perhaps about me, but I'm not there. I got it. So, we should have this kind of frank discussion. We shouldn't be playing around, especially from a progressive point of view. Make an effort and get out of when I refer to plantation politics, that's a new plantation politics, where the brain power usually rests with the white elite and the heavy lifting is to be done by blacks and Latinos. We still have that hierarchy existing in way too many progressive movements. Sanders movement was one of them.
Have you by any chance listened to the Counterpunch radio show where Jill Stein was interviewed on July 10th?
I've listened to her interviews, but I don't remember whether that was one I listened to, that particular date.
Well, at the end of that one, she and the interviewer, I forget his name, talked in some detail about forming what they called the Green Panthers to do neighborhood organizing modeled on the Black Panthers. And, again, that goes to support that this is not just a Harvard doctor from Massachusetts, that this is not just that her ideals are not elitist.
I'm saying, does the Green Party, in your view, agree or disagree, but just let me know in what ways you agree or disagree. Is the Green Party right now the best possible choice? And if so, why? If not, why not?
Oh, they're the only choice. They are the only choice in terms of ending war and economic opportunity and a foreign policy that's not based on deception and you know, views on education, views on nuclear power. It's hands down. There's no other choice. I'd like to just make a quick side note about Gary Johnson, who is the Libertarian candidate.
The Libertarian candidate.
Yeah. I found a clip of an interview with him in CNN that was embedded in a otherwise interesting article where he was asked if he favored the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, and he kind of mumbled a little bit, and then he said yes. And I'd like someone to explain to me how a libertarian can be a globalist. So, you know, I mean, with that alone, that takes the libertarian vote off the table for me. So
okay. So you're heading very much in the direction of the Green Party.
Very much.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Certainly.
Ernie from New York, you're on the air.
Thank you, Eutice, for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just want to comment on the fact with the Green Party. I think you're right as far as that they're not entering into the community, especially the black communities over here in New York area. I actually never seen a Green Party person promoting the party. Okay. Are you there too?
Yes.
Okay. And I think because the other parties have the money to buy a TV time, and they're going to depend on the television to promote there, because they can't also physically go into these communities, so they're going to promote it through TV ads and through visual things. The Green Party, I think, has to take the other route, which is put the people on the foot on the ground and go into, you know, into these communities. I think if they do that, they will counteract the fact that they're not there, and they can't be there. They just want to spend the money with, like you said, CNN and all these TV medias, give them the money and have them promote themselves like that. Thank you.
Let me ask you, in your view, how did you feel about Sanders and his so-called revolution?
Well, I had actually voted for Sanders during the primaries. And
now that he has capitulated, where are you leaning now?
Well, I was in the past, I had voted in the past for the Green Party back to the Ralph Nader days. But after Ralph Nader, I don't think I ever voted again for the Green Party. But, you know, it depends on what Jill Stein, if I, you know, I have to listen to a little bit more of the debates and things like that. But, you know, it's kind of difficult as far as the other two, because they appear to have the same motive when it comes to the military. My one thing is that I would like to cut the military. And both of them are not planning to do that. Universal health care is another thing. And a host of other things that Obama promised and did not come true with it. But yeah, that's as far as which one I'm leaning to. You know, because I would say as a protest vote, we'll look towards the Green Party more. But I'm kind of disappointed with Bernie, what happened there. And we'll see what happens during next
what
few
has
weeks.
To happen to actually, you still sound kind of iffy. But what has to happen to make you solid with your decision?
Well, as I said, the Green Party will have to put more boots on the ground, and I'll have to see more activity there. I've never gotten a phone call from them. I've never seen anybody asking me about the Green Party. I've never seen them trying to recruit people out there, too. You know, that's one thing. Yeah, if you don't see faces, and if you only rely on the media, you know, eventually your mind just starts getting shaped. I know,
but,
you know.
But let me ask you now. But are you having extraordinary expectations because you know the Green Party doesn't have that kind of money like the Democrats and Republicans have to, you know, devote a sizable chunk of it to?
Well, they can start with the new methods of media communication that we have. You know, the Facebooks and emails and whatever those other things. You can start with that. If I see that the Green Party is moving along seriously, wants to be the third party, they can gain ground and be a force. Not maybe not for this election, but the next time around. I don't know if they can get any seat in the Senate and stuff like that. I mean, that's the thing that we would like to see. We want to see them gain ground politically and have some force. Okay, thanks. You see,
fair enough. Thank you so much for your call today.
Bye.
Jose from Queens, you're on the air.
Greetings, my professor.
Hello, Jose. How are you?
I'm not bad. As always, ancestral blessings be upon you always.
Thank you so much for that.
Well, as I've said to you shortly after the primary, that I voted for Bernie Sanders. Not because I felt that he was a solution to what ails us as a people, but I find oftentimes we are, as a people, we always seem to reaching out to the lesser of the two evils, and are, in this case, lesser of the three evils. And I was very disappointed to see that Senator Sanders pulled Jesse Jackson on us. And, well, you warned us, you told us exactly what would happen, and the script went accordingly. But I somehow wanted to, you know, deep down inside my soul, I wanted to feel that Bernie might be a little different, just a wee bit different. And turned out that he wasn't. I don't think Senator Sanders is about to leave his comfort zone and to be a pioneer and to move out apart away from the system that has been running this country for so long. And he's either he has a lot the courage to do so, or he's just comfortable with where he is, because he knew darn well that there's no way he can get the Democratic Party to go in the direction of the people. It's not going to happen. And so he has acquiesced, and he has made his deal with the Democratic Party, and that's where we are. And
bring us to the Green Party.
Well, the Green Party is something that I am still not comfortable with the party, because I think both political parties, the Democrats and Republicans, they see these parties as more like an irritant, as something that they can either co-opt. If they feel that they reach a point where they might be causing them a problem, they can co-opt them, just like how Bernie Sanders was co-opted. And if they can't co-opt them, then they will just go after them with a vengeance and destroy them. And I don't think it is a party that really is a grassroots party coming from something that the people has created. Because I think, hadn't it been so, Bernie Sanders and the leader of that, the Green Party, would have either got rid of their ego problems, or and come together in the interest of creating an entity that could eventually challenge the system. So there is something that the system is comfortable in knowing that they don't have any threats coming from any of these splinter part entities as planning that want to come up and to become an entity. They know they don't have to worry about that, because they can deal with them regardless of this disgraceful display that we have seen from both parties. And if the American people is prepared to sit down and to accept one of these folks as the government that's going to run this country, and they cannot come together and have an alternative force to what is happening, either by if that's the way you want to go, you overwhelmingly go for the Green Party to make a point, or you cast a ballot, a writing ballot or something. But I have a funny feeling that the American people is going to fall in line, and they're going to choose one of these folks here. Because, again, the party, the system is saying to the American people, yeah, we know we are doing all these things, and so, well, what are you going to do about it? They have been doing this thing in our face. I mean, it is a disgrace.
But you don't see in all of this that you have outlined, yes. You don't see that from a strategic vantage point, okay, mm-hmm. just to make a point about political power at this mm-hmm. time, given the scenarios that we are experiencing, you don't see that the Green Party has offering a strategic advantage here at this time?
I think it could, but I honestly don't believe that is what the eventual intentions are. It is going to be a party mired in the kind of political shenanigans, just like the others. I don't feel comfortable that is the alternative. It could be if you go out and vote for them, it will be to make a point. But I don't see where at this point. I don't feel comfortable knowing that this is a party that has the interests of the masses, the people of heart, and this is where this is what they plan to do with the votes of our people. I don't see.
Well, thank you, and let's see how things go in the next couple of days with the Green Party and see what comes out of the convention. Thanks a lot for your input today.
You're welcome.
Let's talk with Kwame of New York next. Hello, Kwame. What are you thinking?
Hello?
Hello, Kwame. You're on the air.
Yes. How are you doing?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
We're getting a lot of reverb, so maybe you could talk directly into the phone because there's a lot of feedback coming.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, but I'm hearing an echo, too.
Hold on. One second. I'm going here. Yeah. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I don't really feel too good about the Green Party. I know they've been around for a long time, but it's just like as the callers, previous callers, they just don't appeal to the African-American community. It doesn't seem like they never really made an effort also. I mean, I'm surprised by Jill Stein's pick for vice president, though. Jamal Barak,
why are you surprised about that?
I just didn't see the correlation between the two, basically. So I think he's a little bit very much more like intelligent than her, and so anybody see the correlation? And he's more to me African American, or black oriented.
The Green Party has had people of color and especially women of color as vice presidential and presidential candidates. We had Cynthia McKinney in 2008. In 2012, we had Sherry Hunkala, a Native American. We had Rosa Clemente as a vice presidential candidate also in 2008. I had Winona LaDuc, Native American, with Ralph Nader in 1996. So they have made a demonstrable effort to communicate an openness over the years.
Right, I'm familiar with that. You definitely have put it forth. I just don't think, even with putting, Sister Clemente and Congressman McKinney in the I still don't think it has really made a difference in their appeal. I mean, not much of a difference. Of course, they're a little bit more more notable than 20 years, say 25 years ago. But still, I don't know. It still hasn't made so much of a difference.
Do you think, as a strategy, because you're a political person, as a strategy, that given the choices that you're seeing being played out before you, that it might be worth considering?
I wouldn't be negative. Not really.
Not really.
Yeah, not really. I mean, personally, I think that the people should just walk out fairly in an election and go to the streets that day.
And you don't see the Green Party as offering a good alternative for the same reasons that you just told us, that you just don't see them having a kind of organic connection to the African-American community?
Right, yes. Yeah, I don't see them very often. It's something about the party I don't know, it's a lack of trust I have with the party.
Well, thank you so much for your call today. New Jersey, CC, you're on the air, and we have to make it kind of fast, I'm afraid, because you're the last caller.
Oh, Utrice, thank you. Thank you so much. I've been a fan of yours for 21 years, and I'm glad to be on.
But
right
I'm
now.
Only 22.
Well, then I went into you before you were one. So here's the deal. Here's the deal as I see it, right quick. I think the Green Party is a place. I think we have to do this like a gourmet cook would, maybe a Louisiana cook, or maybe a gumbo soup. We can't just go with one situation right now. The deal is, I've been listening to Ben Jealous and Dr. Stein, have a debate. I've heard today Richard Reich and Chris Hedges have a debate. And I've heard Noam Chomsky, and what I get now, and I've been a Bernie person. I mean, I've been following Bernie 20 years when I hear him on 99.5 FM. And what I get is that the deal is this, there's a saying, you've heard it, halitosis is better than no breath at all. And that's what Hillary is. Hillary right now, and if we look at the benefit or the power in, the Supreme Court, okay, and a few other things. And if we stay with Bernie, we've got to be in a tripopoly where we're with Hillary, we're connecting to Bernie's movement, and we're also, as John F. Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for the Green Party, and get busy. We've got to do a triad here. While Hillary's in, we get her out in 4 years because of what she's already sold out to. And so where it's at is the Green Party watching Bernie's moves. I think Bernie's 73. He's going to be 74. I mean, you know, would I want him to go the next round? No, he's done it. He got ripped off and he knew it. He found out about it and so forth and so on. So what do we do? We've got to put on our big boy and big girl pants and get to work. Get busy. If you're looking for something to begin with your sleeves. If it's the B, it's up to me. I've got to get involved. And that's what people have to do. We're trying to compare it. Well, this is not like this. So this is not what we've been known to experience as people of color and so forth. Hey, this is 2016. It's different. 2016 totals 18. 1 plus 8 is 9. This is the end. And we've got to get ready for the beginning. And the beginning is it's Hillary now because, hey, she and Bernie is not calling her out on the corruption. Why? Because it doesn't make sense from a marketing or a sales standpoint or the future of the power that he has led. And he's still involved. But
all right.
The Green Party,
we'll leave it there for today and pick it up again tomorrow. Thanks so much for calling in and contributing, CC. That brings us to the end of our program today, and we will continue tomorrow being Free Your Mind Friday, but of course it has to be Free Your Mind. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Expanding Mind with Eric Davis. Very good program. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. A pleasure always and a great privilege to be in your company. Bye-bye.
This is Mike Fader. I want to tell you about my